Would you turn with me to the Gospel of Luke this morning, Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, as we begin to read at verse 15, as we continue our series on Tell Me a Story, Lessons from the Master Teacher, as we've been looking at the parables, the stories Jesus told, and what we can learn from them. Today, the parable of the great feast, or the great banquet. Let's hear the word of the Lord, chapter 14, beginning at verse 15. The scripture declaring under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Luke writing for us, that when one of those at the table heard him say this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way out to try them out, so please excuse me.' And still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out into the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we ask your blessing this morning on your word. And Lord, as we come before today, I ask that you prepare our hearts to hear from you and to meet you at your table this morning. We thank you that you invited us to come before you in worship. You invited us to come before you at your table today that you have prepared for us. So we thank you, Lord, for your invitation and your call. Lord, may we hear your voice this morning and may we respond to you in a way that pleases and honors you. And we thank you, Lord, for that relationship we have with you personally through your Son. Bless your word to our hearts this morning through Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen. If you could have dinner with anybody you wanted, who would you choose? I know. Who?
My wife.
Your wife. A nice answer. I know who Kim would pick. She would pick Donny Osmond. And one time when he was here at the American Music Theater several years ago, she found out that Donny Osmond had dinner at the Oregon Dairy. And every time we went to the Oregon Dairy after that, she says, "I wonder if this is the booth Donny Osmond sat in. I wonder which one he sat in." Because she'd love to have dinner with him. Who would you choose? Would you choose someone famous? Would you choose someone from your small circle of family or friends? And Ralph said he'd choose his wife. Would you choose to have dinner with someone you work with or a neighbor? Or would you choose to have dinner with someone you don't know, have a chance to get to know them better? Because it's those times of having dinner together where we experience fellowship, where we can sit down around the meal and share that common meal together and draw closer and draw intimate and have fellowship that we don't have in at times without that. How many of you, if you could choose, would choose to have dinner with Jesus? Because he has invited us to have dinner with him. And that opportunity to sit down and have fellowship at a meal with Christ is extended to all of us. And that's where we are in the parable we have for us today. As Jesus, as we're looking through these parables, the story of the great feast, of the great banquet, he said, He told a story, and to get this to context of the story, we have to go back a little bit into this chapter to see what was happening. Because this is one of those parables Jesus told in response to the setting where he was at. And chapter 14 opens by telling us that Jesus had been invited to someone's house to dinner. He was having dinner with a prominent Pharisee. And the Pharisee doesn't name, but he was a prominent member, probably of the Sanhedrin, had invited Jesus to his house to have dinner with him. And in this case, it wasn't just to have dinner and friendly conversation and fellowship with Jesus. It was meant to entrap him. Because if you look at chapter 14 as it opens, it said they invited into the dinner a man who had dropsy, a man who had a disease. And it happened to be the Sabbath day. It was on a Saturday. And they invited Jesus there to see, and they were watching him intently to see if he would heal. Because it said right there in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. They brought him in, they planted him right in front of Jesus, and they were sitting on the Sabbath day, and then they intentionally asked him, "Teacher, is it lawful to heal a man on the Sabbath day or not?" And Jesus, of course, healed him. They had done that to try to entrap him. And then Jesus sat and watched as those at the table come looking for the place of prominence. And they wanted to sit closer to the guest or closer to him. And he watched as these men who were invited tried to look for honor. So then he told them a story about that, about being humble. And then the Pharisees thought, well, the ones who are come to this guest are surely good people. We don't want to invite any of the outside dogs. We don't want to invite any Gentiles or any sinners to come to our table. We only have the people come fellowship with us that are worthy. And that was their attitude. And so Jesus then gave a story as an example of who can dine with him. And he said there was a man who was having a great banquet. He was having a feast. And he invited the guests to come, and he sent out an invitation list on his guest list. And all the people, when it came time for the banquet to be ready, to return their RSVP and come over to the house, the meal was ready, they all refused, and they all sent excuses and why they couldn't come. And they all had reasons. The excuses, and those people represented in this case, the Pharisees, the religious crowd, those who thought they were good. And they sent all kinds of reasons why they couldn't come. So then Jesus said, the owner said, the banquet's ready, go out into the street and find anybody you can find, the crippled, the lame, the blind, anybody you can find, and have them come and have banquet with me. I have it all ready so that my house can be full. And there'll be plenty to eat at my table. And that was the story Jesus told. What was the point he was trying to make? And as we come to the Lord's table this morning, he has prepared it for us. And he welcomes all of us who come. And the story teaches us two things about coming to have dinner with Jesus. And the first is this, is that the Lord has invited us to dine with him. And that's a good thing. He says he made a banquet. He represents the master who's put the feast in here, who prepared the feast. And the feast that he's calling us to have that relationship with him. And this banquet is a foretaste of the day of sitting around heaven, around his table in heaven, and having eternal fellowship with him. When he gave the Last Supper that we're about to share in a moment, he said, "I will not share of this fruit of the vine again until the day I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Until that day I sit down around my table in heaven and we sit down and have eternal fellowship with him." And won't that be great? And Jesus has prepared a place that he's calling us to come and to have that eternal fellowship with him. At his table for all time. The Bible calls it the marriage supper of the Lamb. A great feast, a great banquet, far better than Shady Maple. Far better than anything we've ever seen. Where the food is going to be glorious. And it's going to last for all eternity. And all who will is invited to come to this banquet. He's invited you and he's invited me. And it's an open invitation. Notice he says, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. Not just a few, but many. And he's put out that invitation. Jesus says, come and dine with me. Come and enjoy life abundantly with me. Come and know me and come and have that relationship with me, an intimate fellowship with me, and a life of blessing that you've never known before. And that's open to anybody, all who will. And aren't you thankful Jesus has invited you to come to dinner with him? He's invited you to come to his table this morning and to dine with him. He's invited you to enjoy the blessings of salvation and eternal life. All who will. He invited many. When he died on the cross, he gave his life for the payment for the sins of the entire world. His blood was shed. His body was broken for all mankind. That whoever may believe may be saved. That invitation and offer goes out, as Jesus said, for God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Not some, but all. Whosoever will may come. That open invitation to dine with Jesus. It's also in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. And Ralph read this at the beginning of the service. And that call goes out. And Ralph read this, where Jesus speaking. And the scripture ends by saying, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Open to all of us. But it's also a free invitation. It says here that the man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, when it's prepared, he sent his servant out to all who had been invited and says, come, everything is now ready. There was no cost. They didn't have to pay for anything. Just come and have a free meal and at the banquet, the great banquet hall with the king. And Jesus this morning, in his invitation to come and dine with him, to come have that relationship with him, is offered to you and I at no cost to us. But it was costly. It cost him his life. When we receive the bread and the cup this morning, it's a reminder of the payment that was made. He said, this is my body broken for you. As often as you eat it, remember me. This is my blood shed for the forgiveness of your sin. But it is a free gift that all we have to do is receive. But so often, we have a hard time accepting something that's free, don't we? We think there's got to be a catch to it. It can't be absolutely free. If someone today calls you and invites you to come to their house for dinner, you think, well, what's the catch? What do they want from me? Or is this going to be, you know, when we go down to Pigeon Forge and stuff, we go down there and these people say, well, we're going to give you a dinner, or we're going to give you this tickets for a show. It's the catch. It's they're trying to get you into their timeshare thing, you know. And people say, I'm going to invite you to dinner. And you think, well, what's the catch? What do people want from me? But Jesus has offered us totally free what he's done for us on the cross. No cost to us, and that eternal life and that banquet for all eternity with him. All we have to do is receive it. At Christmas time, one year, a pastor helped to hope to illustrate how salvation was free. So he pointed to a beautiful poinsettia that he had standing on the platform. It was wrapped in red cellophane with a ribbon, big ribbon on it. And it had a sign that says, whoever wants this gorgeous flower may have it. All you have to do is take it. It's yours. He waited, and he waited during the service, and no one from the congregation came to get it. Finally, a mother timidly raised her hand and said, I'll take it. And the pastor said, great, it's yours, said the pastor. But then the woman nudged her son and said, you go get it for me. The pastor said, no. Whoever wants this plant must come and get it for themselves. You got to get it personally. You can't send a substitute. The woman shook her head and was unwilling to risk embarrassment or leave her seat, so she wouldn't go get it for herself. She just stayed there. So the pastor waited again. And he waited, pointing to this beautiful plant, said, "It's free. Anybody wants to come and take it, it's for yours. Just come and receive it. It would make a great decoration in your home," he said. "It's free for the taking." But nobody came up to get it. Someone snickered and said, "Well, what's the catch? There's surely got to be a catch." The pastor said, "No, it's totally free." A college student in the crowd said, "Well, it must be glued to the platform, isn't it?" And everybody laughed. And the pastor said, "No, it's not glued to the platform. It's just sitting here. It's free. Just come and take it, whoever wants it." A teenage girl asked, "Well, can I take it after the service?" The pastor was tempted to give in, but then he thought of the verse, "Today is the day of salvation," and he shook his head, "No, you must come and receive it now." So he was just beginning to wish he had never, ever started the whole thing, when a woman he had never seen before stood up in the back. Quickly, as if she was afraid she would change her mind, she came up, took to the front of the platform, picked up the plant, said, "I'll take it," and she went back down. After she had gone back to her seat, the pastor launched into his message on Romans 6:23, that the gift of God is eternal life, free to all who receive it. He thought that was the end of it. But after the service, when most of the people had gone home, the woman who claimed the poinsettia came up to the platform where the pastor was packing up his Bible and prepared to leave. And she said, "Here." And she put something in his hand. She said, "This flower is just too pretty to take home for free. I couldn't do that with a clear conscience." So the pastor looked down at the crumbled paper that the woman stuffed into his hand, and guess what it was? It was a $10 bill. She had a hard time accepting, and what is it that we have a hard time accepting something for free? We think we have to earn it. We think we have to pay for it. We have a hard time accepting it. The banquet that Jesus has prepared us to, the relationship he calls us to this morning, is totally free for us. It's costly. It cost him his life, but all we have to do is receive the free gift that he has provided. That invitation has gone out to all. It's an open invitation, and it's a free invitation. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 1, 55 verse 1 says, "Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost." Given to us by Jesus. It's an open invitation, it's a free invitation. And last, it's an ample invitation. Notice what it says here. Come, the banquet has been, all has been, everything is now made ready. Meaning that what Jesus has done for us, his death on the cross, his provision, what he's prepared for us is ample, it's sufficient for all of our needs. That when Jesus died on the cross, he shed his blood, his body was broken to pay for all of your sin that you committed in the past, that you commit and will commit today, and what you will commit in the future. Not just yours, but mine. Everybody in this room, and everybody who was born and yet to be born, his death covered all of that. Praise God. It was ample. It is sufficient for you and for me. His grace, his mercy is sufficient for all. Come, everything is ready. There's nothing we have to do. It's ample. It's sufficient. Now, when I was growing up, that word ample has a meaning in my life. Kim knows what's coming. When I was growing up, I grew up in the country, and I was just a country boy from the mountains of western PA, Appalachia, and that's where I grew up, just plain country. I'm still a country boy. And my brother, and this is when my brother was just dating his wife who he married, and she came from the family of lawyers. pretty up, higher up family, pretty well-to-do. And her uncle was former governor of Pennsylvania, Governor Schaefer, if you remember him. He was a former governor of the state, and that kind of family. I'm like 14 years of age, country boy from the mountains, and we're going to have dinner at their home for the first time with a bunch of lawyers, upper class. And my mom says, whatever you do when you go to dinner, you make sure you be polite. You make sure you use your manners. When you're sitting at the table with them, you make sure you're on your best behavior. Don't embarrass me. So we're sitting there having dinner, and we finished everything, seemed to be fine. We're finished, dinner is done, and Wolfie, who was my brother-in-law's mother, my brother's mother-in-law, she turns to me, and she said, did you have ample? And I said, I had never heard that word ample before. I didn't know what it meant. And I'm like, huh? What's ample? I didn't even know what it was. And my mother, she was about ready to go under the table. And since then, I learned what ample means. It means sufficient, enough, all that you need. And that's what Jesus did for us, that it is more than we need. It applies for us, all of our needs for us. So the Lord has invited us to dine with him. That invitation is there. All who will may come. He's made the banquet ready through his own life. That's the first thing we see, which just takes us to the second point, that we need to respond to his invitation. That's why we're invited to come. When Jesus then said, send out the servant, tell him everything's ready. And when he did, he said unto those who were invited, and they began to make excuses as to why they could not come. Some of them were good. There were three different excuses that were given. And sometimes today when people are invited to come to Jesus, or Jesus wants us to follow him closer, or he wants us to go deeper with him in our life, and we can give excuses as to why we don't want to invest the time, why we don't want to know Christ better in our life. And we can make excuses too why we don't want to follow Christ. And notice excuses that were made. He wants us to respond to him by stop making excuses. And we often do. We make all kinds of excuses to why we can't follow Jesus. Or why the Lord isn't important to us. Notice excuses made. One, it can be our property and possessions can get in the way. When the servant went out, he said, come. And in verse 18, they all began to make excuses. And the first one said, I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Trevor, he bought a house without seeing it, Ralph. And he said, I just bought a field. I haven't checked it out yet. So I got to go and see my new property that I just bought. I can't come to your banquet. I got to go check out what I just bought. And sometimes our property and our possessions can get in the way from us following Jesus closely, can't they? When Jesus says, come know me better, and what we own, what we have, he's blessed us with, not that it's bad, and we're going to see that these things are not bad, they're not wrong in themselves, but when they become a priority over following Jesus or a more intimate relationship with him, that can be a problem. And our property and possessions can be, excuse, our work and leisure. Here's the next one. Verse 19, another said, well, I just got 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out, so please excuse me. He said, I just bought five new oxen for my team, and I haven't a chance to hook them up and try them yet, and so I got to hook up my oxen, and I got to see how they work, and I have work to do, or today I just bought a boat, and I got to go, and Sunday is the only day that I have free to go use my boat on the lake. So I'm sorry, Jesus, but I have to use my boat on Sunday. Or, sorry, Jesus, but Sunday is the day that I go and I have this or that. And we can let those things, they're good in themselves, but they can sometimes get in the way of us following Jesus, can't they? And we can make excuses for that. So our possessions, our property, Our work, our leisure time, also our family and friends. Our family and friends can become more important to us than Jesus and keep us from following him. Notice the last one says, well, I got married. I just got married. I'm sorry, I can't come. I got to be home with my wife. We're on our honeymoon. I'm sorry, I can't come to the banquet now. And our family and friends can keep us and be a hindrance to following Jesus and knowing him better. Notice, jump down with me to verses 25 through 27. As Jesus finished this story, he went on to give us some more teaching about discipleship and what it means to follow him. He saw large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father or mother, his wife or his children, his brothers and sisters, and yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. For anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. What's he saying? He said, anything or anyone that becomes more important to us than Jesus, it's a hindrance to us. We can't walk the way of discipleship. And we can make excuses for why all those things are important, and they're good. There's nothing wrong with them. But if they become more important to us than knowing Jesus more intimately, then that becomes an issue. So getting rid of those excuses and following him. And the last is to accept his offer of grace. Jesus then said, the servant come back and said, everybody that we invited has made excuses. They can't come. And the master was not too pleased. So he said, go out into the street and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. The point Jesus was making, to remember, he's sitting in the Pharisee's home. And the Pharisees thought that they were owned the place. They thought they had the right to have dinner with Jesus. They were the only ones. And Jesus said, no, send the poor, the blame, the crippled, those who think they're not worthy. And Jesus' offer of grace comes to all of us because we all were crippled in our sin. We all were blind. We all were lost. And Jesus invites us to come to his table just as we are. And he extends his grace to us. Amen. We don't deserve it, but it comes to us as we are in our sin. All we need to do is to receive that. So Jesus invites us to his table this morning, accepting that offer. He said, there's room at the cross. There's room for all who will to come to receive. So this morning we come before him, receiving his offer to dine with thanksgiving and gratitude for what he's done for you and I. So come this morning with thanksgiving, accepting his offer of grace, and rejoicing, for the blood of the Lamb was shed to prepare us. The call is out. The table is prepared. Come and dine with Jesus. As we prepare to meet him at his table this morning, I'd ask that let's kneel together in prayer. You don't have to kneel, but just prepare our hearts to meet our Lord as we come before him today. Let's pray. Our Father, as we come before you today, we thank you that you invite us to come to your table, that you have prepared it for us, that you have made the way, that you have offered yourself on the cross. And it's free to us, but it was of great cost to you. Your only Son, your life. And you invite us to come and partake freely of the water of life that satisfies us for all time. Then when we eat, drink of this world, we get thirsty again. But when we drink of you, our soul is fully satisfied. And we have that refreshment. So Lord, prepare our heart to come before you today. If there's anything between us or you, we now confess that. If there's anything between us and someone else, again, Lord, we make that right because we can't come to your table without first examining ourselves and knowing that we're in a right relationship with you and those around us, because we don't partake just individually, we partake together as a church. And you've given this to all of us as a church family. We thank you for the bread, a visible reminder of your body broken for us. We consecrate it to you. We consecrate ourselves to you. As we take this morning, we thank you for the cup, a visible reminder of your body, your blood shed and broken for us. We consecrate it to you. And as we partake this morning, we do so in gratitude and in thanksgiving for what you've done and your work within our lives. So meet us at your table this morning. Refresh us as we come together. In Jesus' name, amen.